Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. We say hello to forever Titans wide receiver, Christopher Dwayne Sanders, who is on the line with us. Hello, Chris. What's up?
Man, I am actually doing good, man. Feeling good. We won the TSSAA state track meet a couple of days ago, so I'm a little pumped up, riding on cloud nine. We haven't won it in 21 years, so I'm excited, man.
Heck yeah. So you're a coach with that too, is that right?
Yeah, I do the relay. I'm the relay coach, man. So, you know, I'd be nervous, but it's fun, man. I enjoy it.
Well, congratulations to the kids,
brother,
and everybody involved with that. I know you got to be very, very proud.
Yeah, I am. How you doing, man?
We're good. Our question of the day is, in honor of Memorial Day, who's someone you'd like to honor that, you know, served our country? Is there anybody that comes to mind, a family member or something?
It is my sister. You know, my sister,
cool,
Tawana Sanders. She served for 17 years, and I just watched how she gave and watched how she loved and how she loved her country. So, you know, I take my hat off to my sister, Tawana Sanders. Just a great person, and just a great, you know, the things that she does, what she did for our country, and also what she did for us. So I take my hat off to my sister, Tawana Sanders.
Love it. All right, now, Joe and I yelled at each other earlier this week, and
what?
I need you to kind of help with it. And I'm pretty sure Jared was complaining about it, too.
Oh, my
gosh.
But,
you know, Brian Callahan talked about that in this phase two, where they can't really be on the practice field, that he split the team up into eight teams, and they do different competitions. And I think I saw tug of war and things like that going on.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it because it's team bonding. It's May.
Yeah, thank you.
You're doing things you'd be doing anyway.
Yep.
You're not really taken away from practice time. Joe didn't like it. He thought it was dumb. What did you think about it?
I'm going to say this. I absolutely loved it because I absolutely experienced it. I don't know if you remember Coach Watterson.
Strength
conditioning coach. He did all that. I mean, we had water jugs. We played football. We did all kind of crazy stuff. But here's what it does. I know it seems kind of corny, and I know it seems kind of cliche because you see these games like tug of war and, you know, all these just silly stuff. But it built competition. It built camaraderie. It brought us so much close together. And those are the little things that you do to try to spruce up what you're doing. Because when you talk about X and O's and running, going against cover two and cover three, that stuff just gets mundane. But when you flip the script a little bit and guys start to have fun and the competitive juices are going, it just brings camaraderie and you start to build a family. So I take my hat off to what Brian Callahan did, but also when Steve Watterson did it in 1999.
Chris Sanders joined the Chasing Big Joe show. Chris, you ready?
I'm ready for my theme music.
Here we go. Come on.
Check, baby, one, two, three.
There we go. I can see you doing the worm at the Astrodome.
This is old school right there.
Oh, that is old school. What group was that?
That's Rex in Effect.
Rex in Effect. New Jack City. Yep, I remember that.
Did you ever do the worm in the locker room? I bet you could do the worm.
Champ, I could pop lock. I could dance. We would have a competition when I was in elementary in school like that. I was a good break dancer, man. And I would get it done, man. I got moves. I can cut a little rug once in a while now.
See, that's the competition I want to see for the Titans over there. Not some stupid point system on the practice. Not some dumb game of tug of war.
Hey,
no team won the Super Bowl doing that nonsense.
But it builds camaraderie. I mean, we had a thing where there was a trash can on the left, and there was a trash can in each end zone, and you would have to – you have a football and try to get it in the little bucket. It created so much competition. It created so much things that we were excited about doing. I know it seems goofy, and I know it seems cliche. Ask Derek Mason. We had a blast. I mean, Runyon was out there. We had a lot of guys out there just acting silly and being kids and just having fun.
Look, you have a limited time on the practice field. Because of the CBA. Limited time. I do not want to see grab ass and water guns on the practice field. I don't want to see it.
But you got to create an environment to where it's fun. I mean,
go bowling.
What you're saying. We used to do that too, but we had to stop because when you got Javon Kurse throwing at 100 miles an hour, they kick you out. He did do that. He would get the smallest ball, an 8-pounder, and throw it hard as he can, and that's why we got kicked out. So when you have – it's their true story. true story.
Oh, I believe you.
When you have games like this, I don't know what it is. It just brings the kid out of you. And if you watch it now, even though it's a game, these cats are still trying to win. I mean, if you watch the tug of war and the stuff that they're doing, they're playing, but they're trying to kick their opponent's butt.
We talked to your former coach, Jeff Fisher, the last hour about transitioning from high school to college, college to the pros. What was it like when you walked in that locker room the first time the veterans and you're seeing 7'7" Irv Eatman over there and everybody else?
Yeah. I was nervous a little bit because I didn't know what to expect. But what I did is I just watched the leaders in my position, like Webster Slaughter, Derek Russell, guys like that, and I just watched, and Jeff Haywood Jeffries, I watched what they did. Even though I was nervous, I kind of just sat beside and watched what they did. So what I did is once I learned from them and said, okay, I can play at this level, then that's when I started to feel comfortable, and that's when I said, okay, I know I can play this game. But, yeah, you walk in there because you're intimidated because the guys that you see on TV are actually in front of you, just like what I said with Webster Slaughter, Derek Russell, all those guys that you saw play, now you're in the same locker room. So, yes, a little bit intimidating.
Chris Anders is here with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. So when they actually get on the field, what do you want to see from this, you know, fake competition that we're going to see between Will Levis and Cam Ward? I mean, I know you have to call it that, but what do you want to see?
Could you please say that again? Because I said it on the radio the other day.
Fake competition?
Yes, because we already know who's going to be the starter.
I know. Okay, so hang on. Before you answer this, because here's what bothers me. This is where I wish that, like, I could snap my fingers and change things. Because when you were with the Titans, I mean, they made it very clear, even though Steve was the third overall pick, he wasn't starting. It was going to be your buddy Chris Chandler that was going to be starting. The Titans, like Vince Young, he didn't start right away when they brought him in. Mm-hmm. Jake Locker didn't start right away. But in this situation, it's kind of like we know he's the first overall pick. He's going to be the guy when they kick off against Denver. He's gonna be the guy. So I wish that could change.
Yep.
Because I think you're just putting unneeded pressure on the kid. But go ahead, sir.
I agree with you. I mean, I think with Brian Callahan, that's why I respect him so much because he still wants to make it fair. I mean, I know everybody knows that Cam Ward is going to start. Everybody knows he's going to start against the Broncos. But you still want to have some healthy competition. You still, as a rookie, you still want to feel a little bit of pressure of not just giving them position. I mean, because if you look at last year, you know, you look at Will Levis, everybody said, okay, he's a starter. So there was no pressure. So he can go out and throw 5 interceptions and have a bad practice because he knew he was a starter. Now you got Cam Ward to where he knows he's a starter. So you eliminate just a little bit of pressure, but there's still pressure when you're bringing competition with Will Levis, even though, you know, what you're talking about, Willis, he's going to be the starter.
Last night I went down a rabbit hole, Chris, of All-American college football teams. It's somewhere you don't want to go because you'll be stuck there for hours.
Okay.
And I came across a 1995 AP All-American team. And I know you're already with the Oilers then, but Ohio State had 3 guys. And Eddie George, and Orlando Pace, and Terry Glenn. Right? Terry Glenn.
Yes.
You played some teams at Ohio State with loaded guys. So when you made that transition to the NFL, did that help knowing you played and were surrounded with some of the greatest college athletes of all time?
I mean, that's a great analysis because the thing about it is we have Eddie George, you know, Corey Stringer, Orlando Pace, all those guys that played Sean Springs. We competed like we were in the NFL, and we did our 110s. When we did our gashes, when we did lifting and the weights, it was always so competitive, and everybody was the best. Just imagine having Joey Galloway, Terry Glenn, Sean Springs, all those guys were at 4.3 and 4.2 below. So when you have that situation to where you're creating an environment to where every rep, everybody wants to win, everybody's fighting in one-on-one, everybody's, you know, trying to get it done, when you go to the NFL, it kind of eases the pain because I'm like, I'm going against the best. I'm going against the top-notch players. So if I can beat these guys, I can go in the NFL and actually be productive. That's why we were so successful.
I'm not a big fan of Urban Meyer, but he had said something the other day, which I totally agree with. Having a great team is once in a lifetime. Yep. Having great players once in a lifetime. Having a great locker room is almost never. And he said, when you get a great locker room – and I know a locker room doesn't win games on the field, but when you get a great locker room with leaders and come together as one, because it's unbeatable.
It is unbeatable. And the funny thing about it is I'm just going to – I like to be transparent. You named a whole bunch of guys like Eddie George, Joey Galloway, Chris Sanders, Orlando Pace, Corey Stringer. The reason why we never won a championship, and I'm just being really blunt, is because we had a lot of individuals, and I was the same. I was one of those guys that just, I want to get to the NFL. I want to catch passes. I was a selfish player, and we had a lot of great players, but we just wasn't a team, and I hate to say that. But then now you get in 1999, and I know you hate going back, but the reason why we won is because we became not just a team of individuals. We became a family. Everybody says that, and everybody you know has that cliche, but the one thing that we did is we made it intentional to where we're going to be a family. We're going to know our role. We're going to make sure it's right in the locker room, and that's why we overcame a lot of adversity and went to the Super Bowl. Yes, we didn't win it, but the one thing we did win is we became a family, and that's why we were so successful in 1999.
Amen to that, Chris. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Hey, love you guys. Appreciate you, man.
You bye too. Bye. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, you have a college football topic.
Yeah, one, it's about being number one in the college football polls, and it's something that blew my mind, man.
We will do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, Shooter McGavin, Chris McDonald, the fine actor, joining us at the bottom of the hour. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in for the Indianapolis 500 this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree beer. Our show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and you can weigh in on anything we are talking about at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
So I get a little stat come out here. Each Power Four football team's record when ranked in the AP number one. And it's fascinating because there are 26 schools that have never been ranked number one in the AP in the history of the AP. Obviously, the big ones, Alabama, Ohio State, these are wins. Alabama's 107 wins, Ohio State 75, Oklahoma 74, USC 68, Notre Dame 63, on and on and on. What do you think Tennessee's record is when they've been ranked number one all time throughout history?
Have they ever been ranked number one?
Yeah, they're ranked number one.
When they won the BCS.
But they were ranked number one that year. But, yeah, they were ranked number one. Were they ranked number one 2 years ago in the –
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
When Georgia beat them down there?
Yeah. Their record?
It's probably two on the guesses, but they're 16-1.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't been ranked number one a lot.
Alabama's 107-16 throughout the time. Now, Auburn's 4-2. Mississippi State's been ranked number one. They're 3-1. This goes back a long time. Ole Miss 5-1.
Vanderbilt's never been ranked number one. Kentucky's never been ranked number one.
Correct. Real quick. Arizona, Arizona State, Baylor, Cincinnati, Duke, Georgia Tech, Houston, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa State, Kansas, Kansas State, Kentucky, Louisville. I can't read this thing. Is this NC
State?
I thought
Louisville was ranked number one.
Not in the AP.
At one time.
Nope. Oklahoma State, Rutgers, South Carolina, Stanford, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech has been ranked number one. I just thought, anyway, North Carolina is 1-0 all time. Arkansas is 1-0 all time, which doesn't mean they should have a loss behind them, because if you rank number one, maybe that's at the end of the year. Arkansas won the national championship with Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones in 64. I just found it kind of interesting. There are a lot of teams who've never been ranked number one.
That's an interesting stat, because I don't think you really think about that.
No, not at all.
So good stuff there. All right,
great stuff.
Are you ready for your top 25?
Yeah.
All right. The Athletic, once again. Top 25 best players since the year 2000.
I haven't seen the list. I'm going to write down number one, and we're going to see if I get it right at the end.
Okay.
Go.
Number 25, Quentin Nelson, guard out of Notre Dame. Okay.
No.
Some of these are like.
All right.
Number 24, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, defensive back at LSU.
Good player.
Number 23, Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia.
Not in the top 25, but go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with that. I think he should. Number 22, Sean Taylor, the fine safety out of Miami. The late, great Sean Taylor. Number 21, Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU and Arizona State.
Most Heisman Trophy winners should be on this list, so yes.
Number 20, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle from Pitt.
Fisher drafted him.
Yep. Number 19, Julius Peppers, defensive end from North Carolina.
Underrated. Fantastic.
So underrated. Oh, nice. I like it. Number 18, Roy Williams, safety, Oklahoma.
He's good.
Number 17, could have made an argument for him to be higher. Christian McCaffrey, running back from Stanford.
I think he's good where he is.
Okay. Number 16, Chase Young, defensive end from Ohio State.
Yes, and don't make this with his pro, how he's doing in pros.
Oh, no. This is
he
just
was good in college.
Number 15, at quarterback from Oregon, Marcus Mariota.
Terrible NFL quarterback.
Yep.
Amazing college quarterback.
100%. Number 14, at quarterback from Oklahoma and Texas Tech, Baker Mayfield.
I like it a lot.
Number 13, wide receiver from Alabama, Devontae Smith.
He's great.
Number 12, wearing number 12, quarterback from Stanford, Andrew Luck. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Number 11, wearing number 11, wide receiver from Pitt, Larry Fitzgerald.
He was great.
He was so good. Now the top 10. Defensive end out of Arizona State, Terrell Suggs.
Nah. But go ahead.
163 tackles, 65 and a half of those for loss, 44 sacks, 14 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, 9 PBUs.
I said what I said.
Okay, I'm just giving you the number 9. From Colorado and Jackson State, Travis Hunter at cornerback and wide receiver.
He's good.
He's got to be in the – I think he's got to be in the top 10.
Yep.
Number 8, from Florida, quarterback, Tim Tebow.
I would have him way higher, but yeah.
Well, let's see who else. Okay. All right.
I got my list over here.
Number 7, at quarterback, out of Texas, Vince Young.
I got to see who else is up there. I had Vince at 2, but all right.
Number 6, from Miami, the safety, played against and with Derek Mason, Ed Reed.
He's a top tenner, yep.
Number 5, at quarterback, from Louisville, Lamar Jackson.
I would have him, I'd have him top 10, but not 5.
Number 4, at quarterback, from LSU, Joe Burrow, and Ohio State.
Yep, I love it.
Number 3, defensive tackle, from Nebraska, Ndamukong Suh.
Beast. Absolute
beast.
Warrior.
Maybe underrated, you don't think about, but I agree with
all
that.
All right, we'll see if I get this right or not.
Number 2, at running back from USC, Reggie Bush.
I got it right.
And at number 1, quarterback from Auburn, Cam Newton.
And talking to coaches who face Cam Newton, they're all in agreement. He might be, I know it's kind of big, broad brush, the greatest athlete that's ever played one season of college football.
All right, so real quick, the top 10 again, let's see if we agree with the top 10. Terrell Suggs.
No.
I probably would have pushed him out. I might have put Larry Fitzgerald in the top 10. Travis Hunter. Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Vince Young.
Yep.
Ed Reed.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson. I might have swapped. I might have put Tebow there. Tebow might be top 5, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow.
Burrow will get argued because he had Jefferson, Chase, all those guys around him. Campbell only had 1 year.
Yeah, true. Ndamukong Suh.
Warrior. Yeah. I mean, dirty player, but who gives a damn?
And
warrior.
Then Reggie Bush, Cam Newton, no argument there.
Yep.
So there you go. There's our top 25 players.
I agree with 98% of that.
I love it. Coming up next, he is one of the best villains of all time that you love to hate. Shooter McGavin, Chris McDonald, is going to join us. He's got a new movie coming out, including Happy Gilmore 2. He will join us on the program next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on Friday. Excited about our next guest. We're giving him just a second to get settled, and then we will bring in Christopher McDonald, the actor, and, of course, Happy Gilmore, Shooter McGavin. But he's done a lot of other things as well.
Yeah, he's in a new movie called The Last Rodeo. Remember last week we had Michael T. Williamson on? And so he's part of this, The Last Rodeo, which is getting a lot of great reviews, too, as well.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. Just waiting for the all good. And we got him. And we say hello now to actor Christopher McDonald, who is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. Obviously, the last rodeo we've been talking about, you're in that. But we'll get to Happy Gilmore here in a few minutes. But we've talked a little bit about the last rodeo. What was it that drew you to this project?
Well, friendship. Neil McDonough is an old pal of mine, and we've been dying to work together over the years. We play similar kind of roles, but he said, Chris, you got to come and do this. You got to come and play this guy who's the commissioner of all these rodeo, the whole, you know, PBR that happens. And I looked at it, and I said, great, I'm in. Let's do this. And then I heard it was, you know, John Abnett. And I went, what? John Abnett, what a brilliant director. It's going to be great. His wife, Revee, and him wrote this thing. It's really good. And I was blown away by the bull riding stuff. It was just, it just got me. But it's all about family. And it's all about, like, what you do when you have a crisis in your family. And he does it with his grandson and what he'll go to the end degree to make things right. So.
Chris,
great story.
Yeah, Christopher, it's getting great reviews, which I know that makes you really happy, but why all of a sudden has this turn? And it's a great thing that we're loving these faith-based family movies now. It's because we're all getting old?
There's part of that. It's because of the world's crazy, and faith gives you some solidarity, man. It gives you some, you know, I'm a lucky guy. I've been raised a Catholic boy, and I just really have that kind of gratitude, and it just gives me that kind of good feeling, and that's what this film does as well. It gives you that kind of like, yes, you know, you get up against the wall, you can always turn it up to God. So that's what I did. I love that part of the story too. So great. I hadn't done one like that in a very long time.
Also coming out very soon, the sequel to Happy Gilmore, Happy Gilmore 2. You of course reprise your role as Shooter McGavin. When you took this role, did you ever think you would become like this bad guy that people love to hate? I mean, it's like there's Twitter accounts, all these things. I mean, it just really, really took off. Did you ever think it would be what it became?
Well, I don't know if any film other than, you know, like a Tom Cruise vehicle that knows it's going to be knocking out of the park, but it didn't really like hit like the stratosphere like it and become so beloved until television. They played it on like a loop, and then people go, this movie's so funny. And then now it becomes like the grandpa watches it with the grandkids, and it's like, it's amazing. So, and it's one of Adam's early movies, and it just took off. And I've been trying to make the sequel happen for a long time. So like, every time I see Adam's like, what about a sequel? What about a sequel? You know, so many other things to do, but. And we finally got it together, and it's pretty awesome, I gotta say.
Is it gonna be like Terminator 2, where Arnold comes back and he's a good guy? Is this one of these where you team up with Happy and you help him win a championship, or do we need just to wait and see?
It's a wait and see situation because I signed an NDA not to talk about what the plot was. So it's tricky, but I believe you, the people that are in it, you're gonna be blown away.
Yeah, people are so waiting for this movie. Like Travis Kelce's in this movie and everything else. When you go back to the first movie and it took off, we had Michael T. Williamson on last week, who you were in the last rodeo with. We asked him about his role, Christopher, in Forrest Gump as Bubba Blue. Any idea? He said, no, you know, I was liking being with my friends. And Chase just asked you about this role taking off. But when you walk around now, people see you, notice you. I mean, that's got to be a wonderful feeling, knowing because of this one role, you become so iconic to so many people.
It's really funny. I can't walk down the street like people are going, shoot up. Or through an airport. Like, dude, I saw you were sitting up in first class. I was too shy. But can we get a picture? And of course I do that because, you know, it's the fans are the greatest. They love a movie, and it's a great honor for an actor because not everybody gets that shot. And this movie, thankfully, because of Sandler and all his great posse that works with him, has made this movie, and then they made this sequel that's going to be finally, after almost 30 years, finally going to hit the theaters and hit Netflix. So I'm thrilled.
I got a few questions that are coming in. They want to know: do you actually know how to golf?
Oh, I can play. Sure.
Nice.
I was not good when I started, but then I got really good on that movie because I was working every day with a really good golfer, and I was my short game got sick. So it was all good. But I didn't know why they called him Happy Gilmore. I know why they called him Happy Gilmore, because it's from a kid that you went to high school with. I didn't know why they're going to call Shooter. So I thought maybe I would just, you know, pull out the guns and do that stuff. So that part was fun, too. What a great character to play. And I loved reliving it. I'll tell you that much. So much fun.
So I told our general manager that we were having you on, and he said for his 40th birthday, his friends got him a cameo from you as Shooter McGavin, you know, for his birthday. I mean, that's what's crazy to me is people, you know, are basically having you continue to play this character.
It's really funny, and I've embraced it because, you know what? It's fun to do. People love the character so much. They love to hate me, like you said. And, because Shooter's just that guy you want to hate, but it was funny and had a funny turn to it, little things like when I was signing grandma's a picture in the scene, and then she sees Gilmore and she runs over to him and throws the picture away. Oh my god! And he signed her a boob. It's so funny. Things like that, just like what a douche. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Chris McDonald is with us. He plays Shooter McGavin, Happy Gilmore. The last rodeo coming out soon with you and Neil and everything, that role you took in there, did you have to ride a bull?
Thankfully, no, because I don't know how these guys do it, but that is like anything could happen. You can get one bad twist by this maniacal bull, and you're on the ground. You get stepped on, or there goes a knee, or there goes an arm. Oh, my God. No, thank you.
So I know, like good golfers, I mean, good guys that roll, ride these bulls, I'm sure when you see this, you get a whole new respect for that culture, because these guys are wonderful, but they're crazy.
They're crazy, and I have nothing but respect for them. They're all like these little guys, right? They play about $1.19, $1.25 maybe, and they're just hanging on with their, every strength of their body, and they're tied in with their left or right hand, whatever they chose. It's like, what if you can't get your hand out, and this bull's like whipping you around 8 seconds, 9 seconds, 10 seconds, like, oh, my God. No way would I do that. Nothing but respect for them.
We were going to bring you on here and only talk about Grease too. So are you glad we didn't do that?
That was my breakthrough, man. I love that Grease too. I guess, the girls, they still love that movie because it's told from the, girls' point of view. Michelle Pfeiffer, of course, killed it. And she wants a cool writer. And I was like, it was very cool to be in that movie. And Pat Burchard did a great job directing it. And it was the one that really changed everything for me. Game changer.
Well, Christopher, thanks so much for doing this today. We're looking forward to not only the last rodeo, but, of course, Happy Gilmore, too. And much continued success to you. But thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Chase. Thanks, Big Joe. A lot of fun, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Christopher McDonald, the fine actor, joining us here on the program. Shooter McGavin, just so awesome.
Just became our favorite guest because he remembered our names.
He did.
That's nice. Really cool. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, talk about that. He's right. That movie was on all the time in the mid-90s. I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it when it came on cable.
Oh, it's still on. Right. Like, I'll be flipping through, and it's like Happy Gilmore's on. And of course, you sit there and you watch it. And usually what happens is Billy Madison's first and then Happy Gilmore.
Right.
They show them back to back.
So good, man. So good.
But July 25th is when that drops, and then and again, the last rodeo that we've been talking about and gotten some cool people on because of that movie. So,
yep.
Really, really neat. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day is it and also celebrity birthdays here on this Friday. And our Nashville's best deal of the week is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon with a buy one, get one free admission. Dr. Crane ate all his vegetables this week, so we said we would take him. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking, tubes, and sunscreen are always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. Some patriotic music today. Appreciate Christopher McDonald for joining us. Better known as Shooter McGavin. It was really cool.
Just a simple role that turned into being iconic, man. It's crazy how that role took off. Good for him. You hope to get a role like that. And there's, people are like, I don't be typecast. Oh, I bet when he looks at his mansion, he loves being typecast.
Oh, yeah. You hit on a role like that. I mean, of course.
He just turned 70.
That's amazing. I'm looking at his IMDb. I forgot he was on an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation too, which is one of my favorite shows.
What did he play?
He was Lieutenant Castillo of the Enterprise C.
Oh, really? There's only one Lieutenant Castillo. Edward James Olmos in Miami Vice. That's Lieutenant Castillo.
Okay, sorry.
You need to change his name.
Yeah, well, he was on it. Richard Castillo of the Enterprise C. So,
what was wrong with Enterprise B?
Well, Enterprise B wasn't in the show. Enterprise D was in the show. Enterprise C came back from the past and changed the future. And it's a good episode.
Okay.
It's called Yesterday's Enterprise. So it was a good time.
Yesterday.
Yep, basically. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. And, of course, it is brought to you by the fine folks at Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial... Let's try that again. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First list, we have Don't Fry Day. You okay, Chase? You good?
No, I'm good.
All right. Joe, you good?
If he needs mouth-to-mouth, I'm leaving.
Okay. First we have is Don't Fry Day. So basically, if you're out sun tanning, all the above, make sure you put it on your sunscreen, all that.
Yeah, next one for you, young man.
Oh, don't worry. I get kissed by the sun. I don't get slapped. We're good. I tell it to all my friends.
How much did it cost you? Excuse me.
Continuing here. Family show. International
Dickerson
Day.
Pike.
Oh, Lord. International Day to End Obstruct. Of fistula? It's something with childbirth. I'm just going to go on with that. Lucky Penny, excuse me. Lucky Penny Day is today.
How's your book, Joe?
Wow. National Cooler Day. National Death Busters Day. So I guess that's like Mythbusters, but I don't know. National Road Trip Day.
Love it.
National Taffy Day. There you
love
go.
It.
Let's see. National Title Track Day. It's pretty cool. National Wig Out Day. You can put a wig on. Let's see. World Turtle Day. And
put a turtle on?
No.
A turtle. Okay.
Oh, boy. World Crohn's and Colitis Day.
Okay.
You're going to end on that?
Well, I mean, that. Okay. Fine. I'll end on World Turtle Day again.
Okay.
Save good the job. Turtles.
I'm just waiting for the one I texted you this morning.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to happen. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Our first birthday, the beautiful, talented actress Joan Collins. How old is Joan Collins today? She was in the TV show Dynasty.
72.
79.
92.
Wow.
We see him on the TV right now, Drew Carey.
62.
65.
67. Dr. Crane on the board. If you watch The Walking Dead, her name is Melissa McBride. She's the one that told the girl, look at the flowers. Look at the flowers. Melissa McBride, how old is she?
42.
35.
60. Jewel, the singer Jewel.
57.
60.
51. Going down here. Don't know who this is. Don't know who that is. All right.
All right.
Author all right. Mitch Albom, who wrote The Five People You Meet on the Way to Heaven or whatever it is. Great. One of the great sports writers of all time.
73.
68.
67. Dr. Crane's up 2-0. Country singer Shelley West. That's Dottie's daughter. Shelley West.
47.
52.
67. Actor model Karen Duffy was on MTV in the 90s. She was part of the group that was trying to get Lloyd Christmas and Harry Doyle in Dumb and Dumber.
Harry Dunn?
I thought it was Harry Doyle.
Harry Dunn.
Harry Doyle is from Major League.
Harry Dunn. All right. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Dr. Crane.
It's all right.
Karen Duffy.
60.
63.
64. Dr. Crane jeez. Popping the outside up 3-0. The drummer for Maroon 5, Matt Flynn.
Not the quarterback.
Not the quarterback.
48.
57.
55. Dr. Crane 4-0. Ricky Merritt's favorite singer, Maxwell. How old is Maxwell today?
38.
45.
52. We only got three sports birthdays, but one is local. Our first birthday is John Newcomb, one of the best tennis players of all time. He's still alive. That's a big hint for you, pal.
I know. 88.
85.
80. Aaron Donald. We just talked about him. Hey, I drafted that guy.
34.
36.
34 exactly. So it's 4-2. Our limbs have come out again to the wire. Chase, you could tie. Dr. Crane, you could win. But Chase has to get it dead on. How old is former Nashville Sounds player? He actually married a soundette, Buck Showalter.
I knew that's who it was going to be.
He's 69. Chase loses 4-3, but man, you were down 4-0 in your rally, buddy.
I rallied.
You had
a
shot that ended on the warning track.
Warning track power. That's me. That's what I have. Everybody be happy, be safe this weekend with Memorial Day. I mean, I know a lot of you are going to be out on the water. Wear a life jacket. Don't be stupid. You know, make sure you have a DD, but have fun. But also remember what this weekend and in Monday symbolizes, you know, thanking those that serve and also remembering those that gave the ultimate sacrifice so we can do all the fun things that we do on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen. That's on record that it's somewhere between 20 to 25 veterans commit suicide every day. Check in on those that are veterans. Let them know that we love them. You know, on our show right now, we are so into mental health, helping our guys out. So just check on them, and God bless you for that. If you are struggling and need to talk to somebody again on your cell phone, we say it all the time, you can call 988 or text. We just ask that you talk to somebody, because I'm telling you, once you start talking to somebody, it opens up and you see how truly beautiful you are. We all have struggles. We all have dark clouds, but there are people around us to help us out. So know that. Your journey is a beautiful journey, and if something happened to you, you would be tremendously missed. That's why we tell you all the time, you are tremendously loved, not by just us on this show, but more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Join Big Joe and yours truly tomorrow starting at 4:30. Nashville Cats broadcast on 93.3 Totally Hits. We're looking forward to that as they take on the Oregon Lightning. Be safe. Have fun. DVD is coming up next, and we will talk to you Tuesday at 9 a.m. here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.